Okay, thank you, Brother Amika. I appreciate that. Friend, now we're going to look at something a little more practical. Okay?
Let's do that.
Now, we have a problem. Ephesians 2:1. You are dead in your trespasses and sins as a non-Christian. And that's how your children are born. They're born dead in their trespasses and sin. Brother Amika, would you look at... Let's go back to Romans 1. Now, in Romans 1, we saw this theme. That spiritually dead people are rebelling. Verse 24, God gave them over. Verse 25, God gave them over. Verse 26, God gave them over. Verse 28, God gave them over. Now, Brother Amika, would you read this? Start reading at 29.
Well,
1:29. First one, Romans 1:29. Just that verse.
They are filled with all unrighteousness, evil, greed, and wickedness. They are full of envy, murder, quarrels, deceit, and malice. They are gossips.
Okay. Are these good guys or the bad guys? Okay. Start reading verse 30, please.
Slanderers.
Okay, let's stop there. Slander. Okay, what?
God haters.
Oh, God haters.
Arrogant.
Arrogant.
Proud.
Proud.
Boastful.
Boastful.
Inventors of evil.
They invent evil.
Disobedient to...
What do they do? Let everybody look down there. What do they do? They disobey their parents. Now, in your value system, do you place your child disobeying you with the same as being a God hater or a vain or a slanderer? Do you do that? But it doesn't matter what you do. That is what class God places them in, doesn't it? I'm sharing the gospel, and I share Hebrews 9:27. Is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes judgment. The non-Christian will say to me, I don't believe a loving God will send anyone to hell. Does that make any difference? Does it? If they don't believe a loving God will send anybody to hell, will a loving God send people to hell? God is not what you believe. You believe what God is as revealed in His holy will. Words. Okay? God does not do what you believe. By faith, you believe what God does as revealed in the Word of God. That's upside down Christianity. By faith, I can make God do things. Is that what the Bible teaches? If you just have faith, God will do things for you. Is that what the Bible teaches? When the apostles wanted to build up the church in faith, what was their goal? Romans 1:5. Somebody tell me. Look at Romans 1:5 and tell me. What was the goal of the apostles when they were sought to build up the church in faith? What was the goal of the ministry of apostleship when it came to faith? Romans 1:5. Obedience. Would you read the verse, please?
Through Him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations of His name.
To bring about obedience of the faith. Not to bring about obedience of God. Isn't that right? When did godliness change from fathers and mothers on their knees, reading the Word together, seeking to serve and be a blessing to God, to men in expensive suits with gold chains and a rock band behind them and TV screens and spotlights, shaking their fists at God, shouting in Jesus' name and telling God what to do. When did that happen? When did the altar call change from men and women weeping and kneeling at the altar, repenting of sin, becoming Christians, repenting of sin, and backsliding and returning to the Savior and offering their lives up to the service of Jesus? And when did it change from people shouting and dancing and coming forward to get things from God rather than to give their life to God? When did that change? What you feel about God is neither here nor there. It's what God says. And what you feel about your disobedient child is neither here nor there, is it? It's not, is it? It's what God says. Now, what is the solution to that problem? Okay, Abika, we're going to look at a couple verses. The first is Proverbs 13:24. Proverbs 13:24. Okay?
The one who will not use the rod hates his son.
Ah! Do you believe the Bible? I shared that verse in Helsinki, Finland, and a businessman stood up and said, "You can't say I don't love my son. I love my son, and I would never use the rod on him. I never will use the rod on him, and you can't say I don't love him." I would never say you don't love your child. God says it. God defines love, doesn't it? A boy says to a girl, "I love you. If you love me, you'll sleep with me." What do you want her to say? "No, you don't love me." God defines love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love is pure. Right? And you're not any of those things. What you're talking about is reserved for the marriage bed, which is to remain undefiled. Isn't that right? Why should she say that to that little boy when she knows Ephesians 6:1 and this passage in Proverbs and knows that you don't obey, didn't obey it? Right? You redefined love, didn't you? It's not spanking. So she can redefine love. It's sex out of marriage. Why not? I mean, we're just redefining the Bible, aren't we? See, we're not raising children anymore like three generations before with second grade education. We're raising children who, by the time they're 15 and 16, are studying chemistry and calculus and astronomy and geometry and foreign languages, aren't we? And you're going to have to do more than just take them to church where truisms are shouted. You're going to have to take them deep in the Word of God, and you're going to have raised them obeying the Word of God. When mommy obeys, you obey. Not mommy doesn't obey, but you have to obey. So, if you love your child, gentlemen, what will you do? What does it say? What does it say? Read the verse again.
The one who will not use the rod hates his son, but the one who loves him disciplines him diligently.
Okay, so now we have the father here who's going to discipline his son. What does that presuppose? What does it presuppose? He's there. Right? How are you going to discipline your son if you're not there? And you're not there on Saturday with a list on the refrigerator. Okay, let's get this over with. You're with him daily for his success. Okay? Let's look at another passage. Brother Mika, if you would turn to Proverbs 23, 13 and 14.
Proverbs 23, verse 13. Don't withhold discipline from a youth. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die. Punish him with a rod, and he will rescue his life from Sheol.
Now, you've got this child who's in this class. God-haters, slanderers, and disobedient children. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Bad company corrupts good morals. I did never let my children play with disobedient children, even if they were the pastor's children. Because bad company corrupts good morals. And I did not want my children in the class, the set of people that entail disobedient children. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Bad company corrupts good morals. Don't deceive yourself. All mothers think they can beat it. Don't they? All mothers, you think, number one, I can overlook disobedience. Number two, my children can play with these other children because it's convenient for me and because they want to, and nothing bad will happen. You do not use your children as little missionaries. Being a missionary is dangerous, hard work. It's for adults. Your job is to protect your children, not to create ministry opportunities. Okay? So, Proverbs, we're going to go to Proverbs 23, 13 and 14. Please read that. We got to get our child out of this place.
Don't withhold discipline from a youth. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die.
Now the Holy Spirit said, hey, he's not going to die, right? How many here were spanked with the rod when you were little? How many here are sociopaths? You're psychotic. How many? If using the rod did what Western social scientists say it does, it makes you a sociopath. Everybody from Jesus' time to 1960 were raving lunatics. Because they were all, like when I grew up, I was spanked by my mother, I was spanked by my father, I was spanked by my grandmother. I was spanked by my school teachers and my neighbors. If they caught me doing something bad, they would spank their son and spank me. And when I came home, my mom would spank me. And if it was bad enough, my dad would spank me too. So, and it didn't kill me. It was good for me. He will not die.
Punish him with a rod, and he will rescue his life from Sheol.
Ah, where is he here?
Sheol.
Where do you want him? That it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. How do you get the child over there? How do you do it? Yeah, with the rod. Discipline with the rod. Yeah, now, from my study of the rod, there is a window of opportunity when the rod can be used, and it's for children. In fact, this verse, child in the Hebrew means a small child. A small child. We use the rod from age 9 months to 12, or puberty, whichever came first. 9 months to 12, or puberty, whichever came first. Proverbs 27:22, Brother Anika. Now, a lot of my friends said 9 months was too young. Children don't know right from wrong. Why does your children know enough away from you, but not to come. Why is your child old enough to throw their food at you, but not to put it in its mouth? Why is your child old enough to scream in bed until you come and get them, but not stay in bed? Why is your child old enough to refuse to give you something they're holding, but not old enough to give it to you? You're just making excuses because it's a lot of work to raise an obedient child. But then the age of the rod ceases. Proverbs 27:22.
Grind, though you grind a food in a mortar with a pistol along with bread, you will not separate his foolishness.
Okay, now, who here has made Pounded Yam? Anybody? Or has seen Mama make Pounded Yam? Hard work, isn't it? Well, you have a big mortar, right? And you have a big pistol, don't you? I've eaten Gertrude Edemeter's Pounded Yam. It is terrific. But I never asked her to cook it because I know what it takes. You're pounding the yam, right? Unless somebody else does it, isn't it? Well, the Bible says, once a person is no longer a child, you can pound them with a rod as if they were a yam all day, and nothing will happen. So there is a time when we stop using the rod, and it's when the child is no longer a child. Okay? You take your 13-year-old to church, and it's your first time there, and you say, where are the children? Where's the nursery? Are they happy? Where do 15-year-olds want to go? What ministry? Youth. Right? Children, youth. Am I right? So, when they're teenagers, or at puberty, can we all agree that once a young lady has entered her time of life, that it is inappropriate for a father to pull down her pants and spank her on the bottom? Can we agree on that? Or her mother? Or anybody? Can we all agree that once a young man has entered his manhood, it's inappropriate for his mother or anybody to be touching him near his private parts, his body? Can we agree on that? So it stops. It's also inappropriate to be bathing that person. Okay? That's incest is a terrible sin in the world today. Our children never slept with us. Now, I know some people let their children sleep with them. I think any man that allows his children to sleep in the same bed with him and his wife needs hormone therapy. You can go on the web or see a doctor and get hormones so you can get your manhood back. I certainly couldn't have them. The undefiled marriage bed doesn't just mean clean sheets. It means an exciting sexual relationship with your wife, and it's no place for a child. Ever. Okay? So you don't let your children sleep in your bed. What if they're scared? Is courage a Christian virtue?
Yes.
Joshua 1, right?
Yes.
Deborah, Sarah, Esther, Ruth. Is courage a Christian virtue? So, Eleanor and I, we used a combination of the rod and reward to raise up courageous children who can sleep by themselves in the room. I worked very hard to provide a safe room. It was prayed over. My wife cleaned it. We were there in the house. The child can stay in bed. Two strokes with the rod for getting out of debt. Three strokes with the rod for getting out of bed and leaving the room. So, what are you raising? Courage is a Christian virtue. We instilled it in our children. They are all courageous. That's how my youngest daughter went to the Middle East as a missionary, witnessing to Muslim women. That's how my son went to South Africa, witnessing in the bush. That's how my daughter went to East Asia, witnessing to communist Chinese. That's how my daughter went to Zambia, witnessing in the bush. Because we raised courageous children. What are you raising? When does it start? Your child can't sleep alone in bed. They're not going to go to Zambia. They're not going to go to Asia alone with a mission team to do battle for the souls of men and women. Okay? So, we were thinking we wanted it to be well with them and live long on the earth. We made our list. So what does the list look like? Here are five things which you should instill in your children before they are age two. Okay? If they are over age two, they just start where you begin. Now, we all wish, every time we learn something, we wish we had known it sooner, don't we? I took a man on a mission trip, and he was 65 years old. He had received Christ 5 years ago at age 60. And he told me, John, you received Christ at the age of 18. You know, sometimes I really struggle. Jesus, why? Why did you wait till I was made so many mistakes? I said, hey, the Apostle Paul said, forget what's behind. Press onward to the upward call. Do your verses, have your quiet time, witness like crazy as long as the Lord gives you breath. He gave me breath for 15 more years, and he made up for lost time. Well, we all wish we had learned it earlier, didn't we? Don't we? Everything we learned new, we wish we knew it yesterday. So don't beat yourself up if you're hearing this for the first time. That's the way, that's one of the ministries God's giving me. Apostle Paul is preaching in a home setting like this. Over here is a widow. Why is she a widow? Paul had her husband killed. Over here are two children being raised by their auntie. Why are they being raised by their auntie? Paul had their mom and dad sold as slaves in a Roman galley. Oh, back in the back is a man, and he can't sit on the floor with the rest. He's leaning up against the wall with a cane. That's because Paul had him beat so many times that he can only lie down and stand. Now Paul's got to preach the gospel to them. You ever think Paul said, Lord, I wish you had saved me. James, you know, they were going to call down fire from heaven. And you saved them. They were chopping off the centurion's ear. And you saved them. They were denying you at the cross. And you saved them. Why did you let me be the apostle untimely born? And what did Jesus say to him? Forget what is behind and press forward to the upward call of Christ. So, if you're behind the power curve on this, if you hear the voice of the Lord today, that's the day you begin to obey, isn't it? Don't beat yourself up. Don't let Satan condemn you. By the age of two, or wherever you are, what are they going to do? No. That's the first thing they have to do. No, no, no. Our little daughter, she was just walking, and she came over to Grandma's house, and she went around, pointed at the light bulb. No. Pointed at the bookshelf. No. Pointed at the flower. No. Pointed at the fan. No. 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 And then she smiled at Grandma. She was so proud that she wasn't going to touch things. Okay? So proud. The fruit of the spirit of self-control is a Christian virtue, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's, when do they get it? Train them no. No means do not do it. When you say no, they don't do it. If they do it, what are they doing? Where are they? Where are they? They're with the dead and dying. What are you going to do? Move them to those who are blessed. All right? No, I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to cast the demon of disobedience out of him. I'm going to give the tithe and the double tithe and the triple tithe. I'm going to take him to the miracle obedience crusade. Well, if you could do that, would there be any disobedient children in Nigeria? But there are. Because faith without works is dead. And God wants you praying for your children. But if that's all you have to do, our churches would be filled with godly, obedient, righteous little missionaries. But they're not, are they? So, you're going to use the rod and move them out. If you say no, but they do it anyways, it's a spank. No. And we would point to it. No. This is no. If they touch it, they get the training spank. You hug them and restore them. You bring them over. You stand there and you point. No. And now they know. No. Why do you hug them? Yeah, you're going to, because it's not, you're not angry at them. This is at work. You're not angry at them. If you wait till you're angry at your children when you discipline them, you're in sin. Because James 1 says, man's anger does not promote God's righteousness. So you don't wait till you're angry. You discipline them immediately when they disobey. What did the prodigal son's father do when he repented? What did he do? He ran to him and hugged him and kissed him. People say, well, doesn't it confuse the children? You spank them and then you immediately hug them. No, it confuses the children. When they disobey, you discipline them. Then they obey. Then they repent. But it's not enough. That's confusing. That's when it says, do not exasperate your children. That's exasperate when it's never enough. On the other hand, when Absalom repented and came back to his father David, what did David say? What did he say? Absalom comes back? What did David say? No! I'm still mad. You go live on the edge of town. And he became bitter, rebellious. He began engaging in vandalism. Don't send your child to the room. Because he's not alone. He's with the world, the flesh, and the devil. God doesn't send us to the room. He disciplines us for our good and then restores us when we repent. We discipline our children for their good and we restore them. No. Obey. What is obey? Let's do it. I will obey Daddy quickly the first time. They learn that. Come. Turn the TV off. Sit still. Eat your greens. What is obedience? They do it. If you tell your child, eat your greens, and they don't eat your greens, where are they? Where are they? How do you get them out of there? If you tell your child, sit still, and they don't sit still, where are they? How do you get them out of there? At church, our children would sit all together right next to the door. Why did they sit next to the door? In the row closest to the door. Why? Because if any of them wiggled, if any of them caused a commotion, outside they went for their spanks. Then they came back in. So our children grew up, the ones who could not write drew pictures of the sermon. The ones who could write took notes. Mommy and Daddy took notes. And then we discussed the sermon at the dinner table. Called family worship. And they did. And if they caused a commotion and they weren't taking notes, we spanked them because that's foolishness. And when I will be speaking at a church, like let's say this was a church, I would go to the back door to shake hands, wouldn't I? and y'all would leave with your children with you, and you would say, shake pastor's hand, and what would your child do? What would they do? You all know they're not going to shake my hand, are they? They're going to bury their head in your skirt or run away. But they're not going to obey you, are they? What sins occurred? You told your children to shake my hand, and they didn't shake my hand. What sin occurred? Well, they disobeyed you, right? And they dishonored you, didn't they? And they dishonored me, the pastor, didn't they? And then when they pulled away from you, they rebelled against you, which is like witchcraft, isn't it? And then what is your response? You laugh and make an excuse. And that's why your children stay there and don't walk with God when they go to the universe. No, what I would do is I would say, one moment, Pastor. I would take my child into the restroom, one spank for disobeying me, one spank for dishonoring me, one spank for dishonoring the pastor. Bring them out, shake pastor's hand. They shake their hand. Then I hug them and kiss them and praise them for obeying. Is it a good wisdom and life skill to grow up dishonoring spiritual leaders? Is it? Is it a good wisdom and life skill to grow up ignoring the preaching of God's Word and causing a disturbance? Is it a good wisdom and life skill to sit still and take notes? Is it a good wisdom and life skill to honor a pastor?
Yes.
Then, why are you allowing the child to go in the way he should not go, rather than training the child in the way he should go? You are always asking yourself this question: how does this behavior affect this versus this? How does it affect? Is this preparing them for success? This is turning out to be a lot of work, isn't it? So why did you have those babies? Well, guys have babies because they like sex. Women have babies for status. But that's in the world. How is your marriage different from the world? Okay. Come. Come. Okay. Hezekiah. Come. What's obedience? What's disobedience? Hezekiah. With your hands on your cheeks, fly across my knees. You disobey. Wow. Wow. Okay. What did Daddy say? Come. Okay. I love you. Stand right there. Hezekiah, come. What's obedience? He comes, he gets praised. Mommy, tell Mommy what you can do. Come. Oh, you're so smart. What if he doesn't come? You win. You stay at it until he comes. Because if you go through that routine 5 times and then quit, the next time you give him a command, the break-even point is 5 times, isn't it? Right? So, the question is always, who is being trained? That's the question. Hezekiah has a training program for you. You have a training program for Hezekiah. You must win. Obey. Come. Eleanor was taking the groceries into the car. My son Sam was supposed to have his hand on the cart. He got distracted. I think he saw something in the lot. And he walked away. We looked up and saw him. There was a car backing up. And I said, Sam. And he looked at me and said, come. And he ran to me. I just saved his life, didn't I? Mm-hmm. What would your child do? Run right in there and get hit by the car with him. Eleanor was ironing, the children were playing. At that time we had a little puppy. The puppy hit the ironing board. We could see the hot iron wiggling. There was a child under the iron. Eleanor yelled, Liz, come! Lizzie hopped up and came, bang! The iron hit the floor. It is only the grace of God that some of your children are alive, because they will not come when you talk to them. So God has to assign angels to do your work. That would be embarrassing. It would be embarrassing to me if I thought three or four angels had to be assigned to each of my children, because I wouldn't train them. Not because angels do keep watch over children, don't they? I want them to have an easy time. Let them fight the demons and the world, rather than keeping an eye on what I have in front of them to do. Russians would say, Pravda, that means truth. True? Pravda? No, obey, come, hush. I called an elder, a deacon in the church, and his wife answered the phone, and she was talking in a whisper. And I said, is there something wrong? And then she mentioned her child's name and said, no, but he doesn't like, she doesn't, he had a lot. The child was about 4 or 5 years old. She doesn't like me talking on the phone. Who's being tricked? Child has to sleep in your bed. Who's being trained? Child decides when they want to go to sleep. Who's being trained? Child screams in the car until they get attention. Who's being trained? Who's being trained? Is it a good wisdom and life skill to use emotions to get people to do what you want them to do? Is that person going to have a good marriage? Are they going to have friends? Is the fruit of the spirit of self-control when it comes to the tongue a good wisdom and life skill? Okay? Then why aren't you developing that in your children? Why aren't you developing the fruit of the spirit of self-control in the use of their tongue? What is a city like? A city that is broken down with no walls. What is it like? A man who has no wife. That's right. So are you raising up little cities that the world of flesh and the devil can invade any time? Or do they have self-control in the tongue? Hush. Say hush. To stop. Hush. There are some of you women who can't even use the toilet in peace because of your rude, unmannerly, demanding soulishness. You can't have a Bible study in here. You can't have a quiet time. We would teach our children. We had a little play area. They would give them some books and some toys, and they would stay there. Eleanor could lead a Bible study. She could have a quiet time. That was their play area. Why? No, obey, come, hush. That's why. Last, open. Yes. Teach them to open or give. What's in your mouth, they swallow it, don't they? You hear your wife say, Grandma's cancer medicine, the pill bottle's open. We're counting the pills, but Grandma can't remember. Now what do you have to do? Because you have a disobedient child who is rebellious and no self-control, you have to go straight to the emergency room and have their stomach pumped. Don't you? Okay? They won't open their mouth and stick out their tongue. Might be a penny. Might just be a little peanut. Might be a pill. You don't know. Give. What's in your hand? Auntie's favorite earring that was given to her at Grandma's funeral is now crushed because you have a sullen, rebellious child who won't even open their hand for you. Now, what do we want to teach our children to do? Do we want them to hold the world with open hands, don't we? When are they going to learn that? Why should they hold the world with an open hand when they won't even open their hand for you? What's in there? What's it? Is it a poison bug? Is it something valuable? Is it something dangerous? Is it something dirty? What is it? You don't know. Have they stolen something? You don't know, do you? Unless they open it. No, obey, come, hush, open, give. The teacher comes into the classroom. Children, please be quiet. Sit down at the desk. Take out your pencil box. Take a pencil out. Get out a piece of paper. We're going to work on the alphabet. Don't talk to each other. Don't touch each other. Your child looks straight at the teacher, sits down, gets the pencil box out, takes out the pencil, gets the paper out, and is looking at the teacher, concentrated. Why? Because of this. Will that child be successful?
Yes.
You're in the doctor's office. The doctor is trying to check for inflammation. Will your child open their mouth so he can look in? Will she hold it still so he can check the ears? No. And so he misses. He misses stress. He misses the inner ear infection. Maybe deafness. Maybe heart issues develop. Now they have to have a penicillin shot. It takes three people to hold your child up. Will your child receive a good medical checkup? They gonna live long on the earth? If they do, it'll be the angels and the grace of God, not your parents. Our children would sit still. They would say, "Will this hurt?" What would I say? Yes. It's going to hurt a lot, but it's going to be good for you, and I'm going to be right there holding your hand. You just do whatever the doctor says. And the doctor gave her a very thorough checkup, and then he gave her a little gift because he said, "You know, I never have children who take me as seriously as you do, young lady. You deserve something special." And that's a gift I gave her, isn't it? I mean, it came from him, but I gave her the gift, didn't I? The fruit of the spirit of self-control. Courage. Didn't I? That was something Eleanor and I did. That was to give your children the gifts necessary for success. Now you have a quiet time, devotional series that will help you with that. And you also have written out the steps on disciplining a small child. And I hope you find them useful. You can go to our website, get more material. You can go to our app and listen to messages. But I pray that of all the things we've talked about, the authority over God's Word and learning to think, what does the Bible say? You have a lot of fog to cut through. The world, the flesh, and the devil doesn't want you thinking about Scripture. The world wants you to squeeze you into its mold. But by God's grace, we will raise our children in a scriptural manner. May God add His blessing to His holy word. In Christ's name we pray that.
Amen.